Welcome to the Engagement Fit Drive podcast. We're so happy to have you join us. And together with Tracy, Andrew, and Claire, let's make bringing your drives to life practical and fun. In our drives and action episodes, we'll share stories of drives at play in everyday scenarios so you can relate and gain deeper understanding of your drives. In our Driving Impact episodes, we'll sit down with incredible guests who are using the Drive framework and tools to create meaningful impact, both professionally and personally. Whether you're here to better understand yourself, your team, or simply curious about living a thriving and inspired life, you're in the right place. So let's dive in.
In this episode of the Engagement Fit Drive with Impact podcast, I am with the insightful and dynamic Claire Verral, who headed up leading and development for ELEC Engineering and Contracting, a company based in Dubai. Join us as we explore the transformative power of the Drive framework, both personally and in the workplace. Claire shares how her natural curiosity for psychology drew her to Drive, how understanding her own drives and drainers reshaped her relationships and leadership approach, and how this powerful common language can bridge differences, enhance collaboration, and build trust across diverse teams. From personal light bulb moments to large-scale organizational change, Claire offers real-world examples of drive in action, helping leaders, teams, and even couples understand each other's unique, as Claire says, energy cocktail and work together more effectively. Welcome, Claire, to our Engagement Fit podcast.
Thank you, Tracy. It's really lovely to be here with you this afternoon.
So, Claire, if we can start with what drive meant to you personally, any insights that you had? Did it affect your relationships? How did it impact your growth? If you can just share your personal experience of drive.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Tracy. I would say as an individual, I've always had a natural or an innate interest in psychology and the development of people and what makes one person tick one way and another person tick another way. So when drive was introduced to me within my professional sphere, I kind of instantly clung on to it. And I think one of the things that really helped myself and then as it unraveled other people when we started unrolling it in the business or rolling it out in the business, should I say, is that you have these energies that you have, or you have these needs or these things that you really don't like, and you're not always able to put a name to it or why. And I think what drive really did was open not only my own eyes, but a lot of my colleagues' eyes, some of my friends who I introduced it to, their eyes, as to why they behave the way they do, or why what inspires one person completely turns off another person. So I certainly had a real affiliation with it to that, if that answers your question at this point, Tracy.
Absolutely. And then, Claire, what I can sort of hear is that curiosity you have, especially like you said in the psychology field. Do you mind sharing with us some of your dominant drives?
Yeah, I wrote them down because I thought this might be a question. So in order, it's a navigator, captain, coordinator, initiator, pioneer, nurturer, enthusiast, networker, and caretaker. A lot of action and a lot of positive energy, I suppose. And again, going back to my previous statement, I've always been somebody who just wants to move, get things over the line with people around me, as opposed to sitting in a lot of data and thought. So it was a real, being able to put that label on has been very helpful.
Absolutely. And what we found, Claire, and as we know, that drive brings a language that everyone understands. So as much as culture is influenced and values influence us, if we can have a language that actually everyone relates to and understands and gives them insight into, and we all know who we are at some level, but drive takes it, in my opinion, to the next level, that we really have a deeper understanding of our behavior. And for example, I was coaching somebody this week who is a dominant skeptic, and she said to me, okay, so there's nothing wrong with me because I ask so many questions. And I said, no, absolutely not. That's how your brain works. That is how you think. You know, when we know who we are, we know our gifts, it just gives people that confidence to play out those roles, knowing that that's who they are and that's how they contribute. And Claire, I can relate. I'm also a dominant initiator, so I understand that come, let's go, and we'll figure it out, and navigate to myself as well, that come, let's go, we'll figure it out on the way. And yeah, been very valuable information for me too, to also learning, especially with initiator, having to just whoa sometimes, just slow down a little bit and make sure people are with us or on our page. So that insight into knowing your drives, and I know that you have even taken it further. You've actually done the drive course, so it's enabled you to further develop the people around you. What did you find useful about going into that next level of actually how to use this tool within your environment and workspace?
Yeah, brilliant question. I think you start to notice, if we think about that concept of know thyself, and obviously you're going to read your own report and really study it and hopefully get some light bulb moments. But I think as well with the energies around the drainers, what can be or has been particularly helpful is, for me, I know a lot of my drainers are a lot more around the thinking drives, such as visionary, moderator, skeptic. And so even when I've looked at team dynamics, as somebody who's led within organizations, and even in previous roles, I might have done this without having, as you quote, the language around it, I've tried to hire people that fill in those gaps and complement. And you start to notice, so for somebody, for example, who's like the skeptic, which is one of my drainers, somebody who within the team can really sit and analyze a piece of data and take time over it and actually enjoys it, and their energy is focused on it. And it's then the ability to hand it over to potentially that person who's then able to run with it and push it forward. And I find, or have found, that it really does increase the effectiveness of team ability from a sort of cultural point of view, not just values, but if you know, you kind of know who is going to put their energy where. And I think if you work in an organization or a team where people actually enjoy what they're doing because they're using their natural energies and not living in their drainers, then you're going to just find far more effective teams and happier teams overall.
And so we've moved straight into the team dynamics and how drive affects teams. And Claire, do you, like, for me, I'm a big picture person. So having this knowledge of the drive framework, and you've brought in drainers for me, thank you very much, that yes, some of our drives are not our drives, they are drainers. We have drives and drainers. And if it's a drainer for that, it doesn't mean we can't do it. It means it zaps our energy and we don't want to be spending a lot of time in that area. We have to know how to navigate our drainers. Mm-hmm. And for me, it almost, when I'm coming back to a big picture, knowing your organization and everybody's drives and drainers, you kind of have this overall picture to help guide and, like you say, fill in the gaps and even coach people on their behavior. And why are they frustrated? And why are they banging heads with somebody? And just to help them explain to them that this person doesn't, they're not as fast as you in their thinking, perhaps, or they need more information. You know, you're going to figure it out on the way. And this person, you're leaving them behind because they need more information. So having this sort of bird's eye view with all this lovely information, obviously taking your training to the next level in terms of all the dynamics that go with drive. Just being able to really support your team or everybody that you worked with. And I know that when you were working with Alec, it was a huge company, and And I know that a lot of diversity in that company. And can you just share with us how you felt that drive impacted overcoming that diversity?
Thank you, Tracy. Yeah, I think you started to see people understand themselves. And also, as you say, understand others, because quite rightly, as you say, there are times when, regardless of any organization or friendship group or people you work with, you know, we all go, why does the person do that? What is the point in that person doing that? Or it's not the way I would do it. And I think as we unraveled a lot of our training, you started to understand that it didn't necessarily mean that people were right or wrong, but their approach was just vastly different. And for sometimes there was, you know, I think there's a model that there's the approach of, I don't know if anyone's ever heard of it, the six thinking hats,
which is
the concept of people look at things from various dynamics, such as emotional, the data, the et cetera. And I think that it almost becomes, you start to rationalize, or people could start to go, okay, that's why Bob over there behaves like that. Or that's why Dave over there behaves like that, or Mohammed works like that. The diversity in thought, I think it started to bring people a bit closer together, as opposed to pull them apart, because you could understand that it wasn't about being right or wrong. It was just about being different. And difference isn't bad, difference is good.
Yeah, so, well, that's one of my favorite things there, is that we don't learn when everyone around us is the same as us. We learn from people being different. And that's so lovely put in terms of that diversity. And then, as you said, bringing people together. And this is what we want. We want to start with finding collaboration again. Where do people find common ground? How do they feel safe enough to collaborate? And I think with Drive, having this awareness of ourselves, number one, and then of the people around us, it opens us up to that. And, you know, and with that collaboration comes trust. And that's what we need, you know, especially teams that work together. Like somebody told me the other day, he says, Tracy, you know, we work on SAD. The people that we work with every day are like our family, you know, and exactly that. Now, how do we get back to creating this trust in each other's collaboration, where we can see things from a different perspective and not just our own narrow perspective, because we do as humans project our stuff onto other people. Claire, can you share with us what level of people were doing the drive? Was it the whole organization? Was it managers? What level were you coaching?
No, it was going through the whole organization from the CEO all the way down. So everybody was exposed to it, with the concept that over the kind of 2 to 3 year plan, it would become a common language. So you would start to know, oh, well, the reason that CEO works like this is because that's the way his mind is structured and his energies lie towards, or the reason that so-and-so in the finance team is like that in a meeting. So everybody had kind of a frame to it. And you know, even the more junior staff, which, you know, and that's the importance of it as well, is that everybody should be seen as equal, because I'm a firm believer that everybody brings something to the table. You know, one of my favorite quotes or learnings is when JFK went to NASA for a visit, and there's a famous quote that he saw the janitor and said, oh, what are you doing here? And the janitor said, I'm helping to put a man on the moon, sir. You know, which is, I believe, how my personal beliefs, everybody does contribute. And so throughout the whole company, there was layer upon layer. The delivery would be different for obvious reasons. It was a company of nearly, I think, 5,000 people. We couldn't get everyone through, but to start drip feeding, as you say, the language, the thought processes in, was important. And I think something that also came out that was quite telling is that quite often you see a bit of people saying, oh, for example, well, I've got captain and so-and-so has captain, but we're so different. And you'd be like, yeah, it's the cocktail within those drives that really as I used to talk about in the classroom, produces the flavour. So whatever different ingredients you have in a person produces that different flavour. And that's how we looked at it from that perspective as well. So you could start getting people to think that there were different flavours, or they different ingredients in the mix, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, Claire. You touching on the fact of the individual's uniqueness, how we are all so unique because of our cocktail or combination of drives, like you said. And somebody's captain is going to look very different to somebody else's captain because of the other dominant drive. So thank you for sharing that with us. That's really important because I think the stats, Claire, are something in the trillions for somebody to have the same drives as you in the same order. And we've got our drives, neutrals and drainers. And also we have different values. We have different experiences, different culture that all impacts that. So we are so unique and nobody can do what we can do. And with that brings so much confidence when you take this drive journey. And then the other question with regards to, as you said, everyone in the organization going, taking a drive journey in some form or the other is, were people excited about it? How did they accept, you know, because sometimes you have to do this assessment and then you're going to get coached. It very accepting in the eyes, or how did they interact with it?
I think, well, strategically, because it started from a top-down approach in the sense that if the CEO is doing this, then, you know, we're all going to do it. I think as somebody who's been in corporate training for 15 plus years, quite often you do get a bit of resistance to people giving up time to attend a training course because, you know, they don't want to do, I don't know, let's say a 2-hour course on time management. They'd rather just be doing the task. But I think where drive is particularly interesting is that, again, as you spoke about, it's tailored, it's personal, it's you. You're talking about you. You answered the questions. So it becomes a bit more interesting because it does reveal that extra layer about yourself. And as referring back to kind of my first comments of people going, well, I've always known this about myself, but I've never really understood why. And then also that ability to look at other people and understand a bit more around their whys. And I think it became a bit of a kind of, oh, have you done your drive training yet? Oh, it's really good because, you know, oh, yeah, I know. And we try to, the training itself, because drive can be quite complicated. And obviously you've got your, well, it's not complicated, but you've got 29 different drives. So there's a lot. It's a bit of a tsunami for people if it's their first time being exposed to something. So it's certainly breaking it down into like understandable chunks of information and looking at the domains, the drives, the drainers. And I think, yeah, I think it just became a bit of the talk where people were able to engage with it because it became the thing to be part of.
Claire, I so agree with you in terms of it's not a depiction of graphs or numbers or your skill set or your personality. It's so much more than the above that in terms of where are you energized? What zaps your energy? Where do you contribute? When do you play that role? When do you not play that role in context? Just it brings so much to the table in terms of who you are, where you're engaged, and what do you resist. I just like to do like a spider's web because then I agree with you that in the beginning it can be a lot, but I think that's like with learning anything new. And what I encourage people in the very beginning, maybe in their first debrief, is pick some of your dominant drives that you really, really, you know, love or really relate to, and let's work with those. And then bit by bit, you go through the rest and go through your drainers. So like you say, chunk it down so it's not overwhelming. But I also have taken my own teams through drive journeys, and definitely that excitement of not only learning about themselves and sharing it, and even that like, now you understand why I am like I am. I've been trying to explain to you all these months and now you can understand. There it is. There's the language. You know, so it's really built a confidence in people in life. We've already spoken about now starting to collaborate. Now we can
start talking and changing dynamics and know where we're headed. So thank you for that, Claire. I know you said that the whole of the organization did it. How did this help or influence, especially the managers? Because when I'm coaching Claire, managers have such a tough job, right? Because they're managing people. So from your point of view, how do you think Drive really assisted directors, managers, anybody leading a team? How did it help them?
I think definitely going back to that, okay, that gap filling. But I'd get to points where I'd pop in people's offices and they would have, a lot of the managers would have like diagrams out where they would have asked for the reports of their team, because that's something that they could get. So you could request, let's say you had a team of 10 people, you could ask for their team report. And then you could start to see all the different energies and the different mapping. And you could see, I remember going into one particular manager's office and he had like lines drawn across everywhere. And he was, so this person is this and that, it makes sense to me. And actually, I might try in future, I'll give that person a bit more of that type of work because I think it would suit them. And I might give that. So you could really see the benefits of people, not just seeing people as team members, people there to do their job and earn money, but actually dynamic individuals that all have an individual role to play into the business. So yes, I could certainly see that was working very well across all levels.
Claire, what about feedback with managers having one-on-ones with their team? So feedback in terms of how to actually give feedback to that individual. And if we just even pick supporter, we know that the supporter drive is one that they need to be acknowledged, acknowledge that they give 200% of their energy, time, everything, and they take ownership of their work. So in terms of giving managers insights or and helping them actually give more than constructive feedback, and not only feedback in the work, but feedback on that individual, like how does that person appreciate that feedback? And what actually do you need to say to that person to make an impact because of the drives that they have?
Yeah, that's a great question, Tracy. Yeah, we just started to break down not only like a mechanism to give feedback, so it's done in a structured way, because I think quite often we think we're giving people feedback, but we're not really, because feedback should be specific and have kind of a defined outcome to it. And then adding in, but if you're going to do that alongside a drive, say, for example, the supporter drive, you might be wanting to say to somebody, when you do this as a supporter, it's fantastic because this is what happens. Think about approaching it in this way next time. Or if you're feeling overwhelmed, maybe go and ask Claire, who's a navigator and can maybe be a bit more clear on pushing you through. So we started to look at how each individual drive does impact with feedback. So yes, I think there's certainly an element of looking at how the drives, literally do drive people's focus and energy. And also, you know, we learn a bit about, started to talk a little bit more around, you know, when drives are becoming overplayed. And you see that a lot in fast-paced environments and sort of trying to get people to recognize when one drive might be being a bit too forceful was something that was quite an interesting thing we were working through.
Yeah, Claire, and exactly that. And I think what you've just said also we can talk about is because it's becoming personalized now, we're understanding that who they are, what they bring, how they add value and contribution to the organization, people are no longer just a number. And I think people being recognized, even in how they've spoken to, the feedback they're given, it makes them feel seen and heard. And I think that's so important in this day and age. We go from that exactly, you're number 44 on the payroll and nobody actually knows who you are. You know, you sit behind your desk. But we're having collaboration, integration, communication, they're giving their own input and feedback in different roles and environments. When we start talking about communication and collaboration, which is the basis of any relationship, we don't have that, I mean, how are teams actually functioning? It's about how does that team function and everybody playing a role in that team. And then we start to build trust. And that brings with that a whole another level of how people feel about each other and working together and not feeling alienated and feeling like they are supported. So I think that's what we've been chatting about really just expresses that, you know, it brings that individualization to it. Claire, if you had to say to someone thinking of introducing Drive to their company, what would you say?
Go for it. I would definitely say the benefits is hugely beneficial. There aren't really any detrimental things I can put towards it. You'll strengthen and improve your workforce. You'll get people to buy into themselves, as you talk about communication, but also other individuals to how to communicate better. They'll also understand what their natural energies are applied to. So for me, for example, and I use myself because I know myself the best, I suppose, I've always known that I have an ability to multitask quite effectively. I enjoy it. So hence, coordinator is number three on my drives. And my lowest drive, or effectively my drainer, is sniper. So I start to understand not only myself, but other people around me. And I think when you bring that into organizations, you can really strengthen people's knowledge and understand, maybe as well, even when you're recruiting, what should I be looking for to fill in a gap potentially within a team? How can I apply that? I think it's not going to be necessarily the quickest process depending on the size of the company, but I think the benefits will long outweigh the time it takes to really get people to understand. And it connects people, because I think within itself, you know, having something that personalized makes people within a workplace feel special and that somebody's actually looking at them holistically. And as to go back to your point, you know, you're not just employee number 44, you're part of this big ecosystem, and how you fit into it is important to us as well.
Claire, I so agree with you. And like you spoke about, when you're employing to fill a gap, it's not just employing for skill. It's, does that person fits in with the energy of my team? Are they going to be the right, you know, so it goes beyond just what's on your CV. And Claire, and I just want to add, when we know our drives and we know our detriments, where we can hyper-focus or we caretake, we're looking after everybody else and not ourselves, I think that also has an effect on the well-being of everybody in terms of burnout and self-sacrificing. So that also brings that awareness. So drive really is, like you say, an holistic approach to a human being and where they fit in and how they fit in and how they should be treated. Claire, this has been awesome. Do you have any parting words or anything else you want to add?
No, I'd just love to say thank you for the opportunity to let me speak about Drive today. It's certainly been a big part of my life and will continue to be so. I look forward to taking it forward into other domains in the future. And I would encourage anybody to look it up, listen to the podcast, do their self-assessment, even just on a personal level, and see what they can learn about themselves and others within the process.
Claire, on that point, yes, I use Drive even for couples because their relationship goes from zero to zero. Amazing. And I love it because you can give them such valuable insight just from the drives. Claire, we hope that, well, first of all, I want to wish you well on your new adventure. And we'd love to keep in touch with you and wherever Drive takes you now, like you said, it's going to go with you and how it plays out in your life. And maybe we can catch up in a few months' time and see where you're at and you can share something, some more valuable insight with us. We really appreciate you taking the time all the way from the UK, Claire. Thank you so much. And yeah, look after yourself.
Thank you. All right. Take care, Tracy.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us on this exciting journey of self-discovery and fulfillment. We hope you found inspiration, practical takeaways, and maybe a deeper understanding of how drives work in action. If you want to discover your drives, head over to engagementfit.com and take the drive assessment. If you love this episode, remember to hit the subscribe button. We'd also love to hear your thoughts, so leave us a review or share this episode with someone who's ready to unlock their drives and thrive. Until next time, keep driving towards a life of meaningful impact.